There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. The revolution continues to meet Jet Lacy. Oh, my God. I was doing, I guess this is about as good as a recommendation you can give to a guest that's coming on to the show. I was so rapt into listening to the movie Fatally Flawed that my guest J.T. Waldron produced and directed that I totally missed the time of the beginning of the show. So, oh my God, this is so funny. I'm not the type to cry over spilt milk, but that's really funny. I can't believe that I actually did that. So, anyway, we have a really good show for you today. We have J.T. Waldron on the show. He's a producer and director of the film Fatally Flawed. The problems are inside, the solutions are outside. And you can go to his website, fatallyflawedthemovie.com. And according to the DVD jacket, it says, Fatally Flawed is a true detective story about a $2 billion transportation plan passed under suspicious circumstances in Pima County, Arizona. And our own Drew Phillips has a camera credit on the film. And I was so rapt, taking notes, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe how crazy this stuff that they actually have the stones to pull these shenanigans that I guess I just lost track of time. My goodness. JT, are you with me?
Yes.
How you doing, man? Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. I love your movie, by the way. I feel like I've learned so much, but it's one of those cases where is it something you really want to know? It just makes it's more depressing, I think, than to realize that the corruption just goes down to every single level of government.
It's like it's business as usual. I mean, when they were just so used to not even really having to cover their tracks. That's the sick part of it.
This is a long segment. Can you tell us a little bit about you and, why you decided to make this movie and how it all came about?
Sure. I have a small video production company in Tucson, Arizona, which is called Sound and Fury. I think we started since, 96. And there were a couple movies, documentaries that we wound up doing due to issues that we wound up sort of stumbling into. For one, my wife got very sick from aspartame, so we did an aspartame documentary. 2 years later, 2005, we followed up with another one. The aspartame documentary, by the way, was called Sweet Misery, A Poisoned World.
Oh, I've heard of it. I haven't quite watched it yet, but it's I heard good things about it.
So 2 years later, we followed up with that because we found out, just this flagship regulatory agencies like the FDA, they mark something as safe, and suddenly it's like Pandora's box. It gives birth to worlds of different problems in the food supply. And so we had to follow up with a second movie called Sweet Remedy, demonstrating the problems with MSG, petrochemicals, how this stuff is pushed to people and everything else. So it was about 2006, after I finished with Sweet Remedy, that I see this person come by our storefront and says, did you know that if this next initiative passes, they're going to bulldoze your building? It's a road widening project. And I had no idea. It's like, they already put this to ballot? Thought it was strange that they wouldn't really contact us to let us know, hey, we would like feedback from everybody who's most adversely affected by this regional transportation authority plan, they call it. They call it regional transportation authority because what they're doing, the past four bond elections for road widening projects failed to pass at the polls. Resounding no's in the past 4 years. So they did something a little different this time. They put a whole greenwash perspective on it. They're going to allow critters to crawl under the roads, just basic things like that. Mm-hmm. So they wind up proposing again to the public in 2006, this road widening project, huge. for a special election off season, and the idea behind this is they're going to use a regional approach. So they're bringing people in who are from the smaller surrounding townships of Tucson,
and it won't be
Tucson
directly
their population will reject it,
right?
You know, so what you have is a hugely disproportionate voting rights to people outside of the city compared to the levels of population inside the city. They know that if they happen to get this passed first, they have now the regional transportation authority, where you have all these other groups with equal voting rights to the, you know, much largely populated Tucson region, to say, yeah, we need roads expanded in Tucson. Take 22nd Street, take it from a 5-lane road, move it to an 8-lane road, and bulldoze all the small businesses that are on the sides. City can resell the land, but only the big boxes will be able to come in and buy them. You know, this scam we've seen everywhere, I'm sure.
Right.
Well, they tried to do this in 2006. They really, really pushed this hard. All the developers, Southern Arizona Leadership Council, you know, all these big business folks, then turn around and they hire their favorite PR person to get a cameraman to ride along in an ambulance during a traffic jam, right?
So right.
Give the impression that, oh, something really has to be done with the city. I mean, just a very heavy push, you know. They, of course, bring all their city workers out to the polls to make sure they vote yes. Done that a number of times. Geez, in the past, they even had them come out and demonstrate on behalf. You know, imagine you're a city employee and you're told you better demonstrate on behalf, you know, go out in the street and oppose these people who are protesting this project.
Yeah, it just happened here with the City of Phoenix food tax. They, you know, because it's for the police and the firemen, so they made the firemen and police come out and in support of it. Otherwise, yeah, they threatened to lose their jobs.
Right. So there were suspicious things with this whole process to begin with, and it caught my attention right away. I mean, here they are trying to sneak past the people most adversely affected with this plan, the people who are the businesses that are wind up having to be relocated and moved. They don't even tell us that on Broadway. I go walking up and down the street to find out, hey, maybe I'm just in, you know, not in the know. I checked every other business on that street. Sure enough, none of these people received any written word or piece of paper from these people, although they spent $1 million shoving this down the throats and getting other people to agree to vote for it throughout the city. They never told us that this stuff was going down at the time that they were making these plans. So it was suspicious right away. You know, it's like if they're sneaking by me, they must be sneaking by the rest of the population in Tucson as well.
Right. I mean, they wouldn't have to tell you that they were going to sell, you know, eminent domain, your property?
Yeah. Nothing. That you will wind up being relocated and good luck. Oh, well, didn't you see they had a, you know, sometimes in what, some off paper, they might hold a public meeting and make the claim, well, we had meetings open to the public to receive feedback for that. Well, you know, how many business people along the streets have time to, first of all, peruse all the small local publications or whatever and discover that there's some meeting concerning the predicament of their building, you know? So, yeah, it was interesting. So that's really what caught my attention. And then it passed, and I saw how, it's like, then the same thing. I'm watching how the local newspapers were so heavily shilling for this project, and I said, well, all right, I guess that's the winds of change. That's fine. Next thing you know, I hear in the newspaper that the Pima County administrator, who is in charge of, who basically appoints the elections director here down in Pima County, they're all entrenched bureaucrats. The newspaper article is that there's an investigation concerning the electronic data. There's some problems with people sort of doing printouts before the election results and things like that. And Huckleberry is making everybody in his office plead the fifth. In other words, all the, you know, election workers and things like that are instructed not to speak to anybody investigating this.
Wow.
Then this is sort of like, of course, now the pursuit to find out really what happened with this. Let's see, what was that? May of 2006? This has been going on for 4 years. But we know there's a huge amount of evidence demonstrating foul play in this 2006 RTA election. So So I went and I attended the first court case concerning this. And the struggle to get to the bottom of this has become a lot less about actually, you know, trying to overturn the RTA election or trying to prevent the bulldozers from coming. Okay, fine, that's going to happen because of the very short span of time you have to even contest an election.
So did they take your building ultimately? I'm sorry, did they take your building ultimately?
Oh, no. They actually, what wound up happening is they ran out of money, and most of the major road widening projects have stalled.
Hey, JT, after a rocky start, I'm so glad we're jumping right into this on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and the revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. We're going to jump right back into this with JT Waldron, the director of the film Fatally Flawed. When we come back in just a minute, we'd love to hear from you, 800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. The Ernest Hancock and the Revolution continues. Me, Jet Lacy, on this Thursday, July 1st, 2010. You know, and I just wanted to say something really quickly about, you know, he was talking about his movie Sweet Misery. And tomorrow on the show, I have Cassandra Anderson, who is the author of the article Food and Depopulation that we were talking about earlier in the week. You know, we got calls going and got sidetracked, and I was like, you know what? I decided I'm going to go right to the source. Because my man Drew Phillips, who is also friends with JT, knew Cassandra, and I had no idea. So I printed out the article. I thought it was really interesting. He goes, "Hey, I know her. I can get her on the phone." And so we got her for the 2 hours tomorrow. So really looking forward to that. But let's do first things first. We're talking with JT Waldron about his movie Fatally Flawed and what the shenanigans that are go on all around the country. This is not something that is isolated here in Arizona. This electronic voting business that they have roped us all into has really, really destroyed the election process. Wouldn't you say, brother?
Yes.
So,
go ahead. Who knows how long this has been, you know, this election process has been compromised. I mean, we know that all the other election officials throughout the state had their eyes on this court case that took place. The first one was about the rights of those that are monitoring the elections within Arizona to be able to see the electronic records, to gain access and look at them. Part of the problem was we didn't necessarily initially get the electronic records, but there were summary reports through a subpoena. Just very basic overall summary reports. And in them, they found problems. They noticed that the electronic database on the night that they're tabulating elections for this $2 billion bond transportation measure was replaced inadvertently. Wow. Or what we believe is after significant changes were likely made. Which means, you know, you usually have a file that's dated, that will continue to, if you show that a file has been replaced, there's no way of demonstrating or proving that the file has not been altered, you know, like a database file. So this was a big red flag for these folks, these gurus, computer guys looking over this stuff.
But you had a really hard time getting the information from the outset, and that's correct, right?
Resistance all the way. Well, the first, you know, one big clue was, we had Dr. Tom Ryan, and then we had the attorney that is basically pursuing this case on behalf of, I believe at the time it was the Democratic Party. I think the Libertarian Party joined in with this as well. They had a meeting with Brad Nelson, the election director, and this was during the course of, like, there was a legislative move back in 2004 to allow for selective recounts, hand recounts of the ballots. You might be familiar with that. That mm-hmm. took place, I think it was passed around 2004, 2005. And one of the representatives down here, Ted Downing, was the author of that bill. So after each general election, there's a small hand recount. Not necessarily sufficient to, catch everything. And you'll hear more about problems with that as well. But during this part where they're formulating the idea of how they can do this hand recount, Bill Reisner was involved with that as well, and he had a meeting with Brad Nelson and asked him, well, is there any way to get something sort of like in the fashion of a summary report so that maybe during the course when it's time at least for selecting a partial batch of these precincts for hand recounts, we'll know what to compare to. Can we get some sort of summary report?
Mm-hmm.
Brad Nelson immediately said, oh, no, I can't do that. The computers, boy, they don't allow us to really generate anything like that, so that's impossible. Well, actually, what we discovered was they were doing summary reports all the time. Summary reports before the actual election results.
And that's illegal, correct?
It's illegal because, I mean, just in regular polling data alone, you might catch maybe at most 1,000, survey 1,000, maybe a few hundred. But when you have polling data and it shows, oh, here are the results of 5,700 so far that came in from the early ballots, imagine the value that is. That tells you, that's like a very accurate style of polling data. And these things are being printed out right and left.
Right, and you could, I mean, theoretically, you could go into the stock market or whatever if you knew a way that it would affect, though that information would affect how the ultimate outcome of a certain stock or, you know, whoever was going to be involved in this road project, that, you know, you could, you know, realistically, someone could possibly make a whole bunch of money, you know.
Absolutely. And in this case, you could possibly affect the outcome of the election during the course of the election. Because 5 days prior to the actual day of, you know, the general election, well, they could check out the summary reports and decide, oh, we better get these robocalls out.
Oh,
we're behind. So we got to really affect the people that are simply going to show up at the polls. And there are a lot of last-minute measures that can be done.
Right.
So it's, yeah, it's definitely cheating. It's illegal. And it's everyone was aware and knew of that when these summary reports were being generated.
See, I see a lot of things in Arizona. I just have a quick question. You know, I was always under the understanding that Arizona had a really strong sunshine law. You know, ARS, well, we'll talk about that when we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock and The Revolution Continues with me, Jet Lacy. We got a long 18-minute segment coming up, and I got some questions about this election stuff. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to call in at 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443, for any questions that you might have for J.T. Waldron regarding his film, Fatally Flawed. And I put the link up to it on freedomsphoenix.com.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
To Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and The Revolution Continues. Meet Jet Lacy. We're rocking steady against all these bad guys trying to steal everything from us. And we have J.T. Waldron on the line with us, the director of Fatally Flawed. And I wanted to ask you real quickly about, you know, I was always under the impression that Arizona had one of the very strongest sunshine laws in the whole country. And, you know, Arizona Revised Statutes 39-121 states, public records and other matters in the custody of any officer shall be opened to inspection by any person at all times during business hours. Yet, why did Arizona get an F from the Better Government Association and the Investigative Reporters and Editors, where we got 46th out of 50 states in the union for openness in government? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I don't know. The one thing... They seem to come up with sort of roundabout arguments. The argument against the electronic records was that there was a potential violation or a potential compromise in security. I imagine security might have been used quite a bit, perhaps with other issues with records. But, yeah, I mean, you would seem, since such a straightforward law is put forth, that Arizona would do better.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, so, well, the first court case, I wasn't even really working on the movie. I just sort of attended this court case, and this was about the getting the electronic records. And what came out in this was There was a movie in 2005 that came out, Hacking Democracy, and there was a demonstration by a guy named Harry Hursty, who was an electronics wizard from the Netherlands. He came in for this movie, and he demonstrated how the actual data cards that are used in these Diebold machines can be programmed to flip election results.
Yeah.
And this can be done in a way where nobody would really know. They can vote through a machine. The machine can go through the whole process. The people working at the polls, everything else, would have no idea that this took place. Because all this stuff would happen in the flash memory card itself that they would later extract and deliver back to the central tabulator.
So they would just absolutely flip the results just 100%, just whatever they wanted?
They could flip the results. They can also program precise, not even just a straight-up flip. I mean, they could actually set it up so that every other vote or every other two votes will be changed.
Oh,
every
wow.
other yes will be turned to a no, for example.
Wow, that's just evil.
Yeah.
Really. We're talking about fairness. Do you mind? We got callers lining up. Do you mind taking a call or
not
two?
Not at all.
We have Lark in Texas. Boy, he was a first-time caller a couple of days ago and just had a fantastic viewpoint on what we were talking about. So welcome to the show, Lark. What's up?
This is Mark, not Lark, and I'm in Georgia.
Oh, well, I had Lark, I had him up listed yes. first, but that's okay. Go ahead, Mark. What's on your mind, brother?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Hello, Lark? Or is this Mark?
This is Mark, if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you, brother. I'm sorry. I had Lark listed up first,
yeah,
brother.
Mark,
I'm sorry.
The second book of the New Testament. Yeah, I was wondering... I try not to give speeches in the form of questions when they have a Q&A session. It's about the only time they'll allow me to have at these political meetings. And I heard this Karen Handel, who is now running in the gubernatorial race, and one kind of speech that I absolutely go, you're on drugs, is when I hear, we need to get more people with our letter, and they never phrase it this way, more people with our letter and less people of theirs, and everything will be okay. And I'm like, well, we did that. But I asked I was trying to be very clear in the way I asked the question. My concerns are perfectly legitimate about these touchscreen voting machines. And her answer was, well, consider the source, and we've got a lot of money invested in these, yada, 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 and we can't change horses in the midstream, which meant to me there's no way in... Even if I didn't know of a fairly good constitutionally minded gubernatorial candidate, there's no way I could vote for her. But the thing is, how difficult would it be to modify these machines to where every time somebody votes, there's some kind of a paper ticket that can be stored that would maintain the integrity of the ballot to where when somebody demanded a recount, they could actually have something. It's like, look, if it takes a week, if it takes a month, I'd rather have election results that accurately reflect the will of the people. But I guess the trick is not only do we have to accurately reflect the will of the people, but the thing that comes to mind, there were two things that Plato, in his book, The Republic, that were required. You have to have a moral people and you have to have an informed people. Because if people are not informed, they won't know what they ought to do. And if they're not moral, they'll know what they ought to do, but they won't do it. So I guess the thing is, what we need to address in this country is we need to get past the disinformation and expose it for what it is and the agenda behind it. And we also need to expose the lack of a moral framework to act appropriately once people are properly informed, correct?
Sure, go ahead. JT.
Yeah, I certainly agree with the moral framework. I mean, there's another issue in place with this, too. If a population or if a group of citizens are going to monitor these elections and try to do something about it, it's can you challenge an electronic election?
Yeah.
Even if they print out a receipt showing what your vote might be, the problem, and they don't do that in Arizona, It's basic scanning of ballots that they use for these Diebold machines. But the other issue is, is there legal remedy? in the right now, the rule is for any election, you only have 5 days to contest an election.
Yeah, I mean, these shenanigans have been going on.
It was demonstrated that it's absolutely impossible to find an issue with electronic voting. Even if it's impossible to catch them cheating using electronic voting.
So the best way we could do is basically just get it eliminated altogether.
Actually, do what Germany did, the German solution. Just last year, the Germans decided, you know, forget any of this electronic voting. We're doing hand-counted ballots.
Yeah.
And that's the smartest way to go. I mean, that's the ultimate end game.
There was nothing wrong with our old mechanical system where we had pneumatic, you know, where we would punch a hole in a piece of paper and a machine would mechanically count them. And although there were errors with that, and there, of course, there's means of cheating with that, at least the errors and the cheating were mitigated to some degree. What we have now is unmitigated cheating by the very people who want to run the whole show, right?
Right, right. And then, who has the authority to look over the ballots?
Yeah.
Once a challenge is sufficiently in place, it's next to impossible to do that. In the case of Arizona, we wound up having Arizona Attorney General examine the ballots. Finally, after 3 years. I mean, you want to talk about some serious foot dragging in this.
And that's Terry Goddard,
Arizona's
right?
Arizona's gubernatorial candidate, Terry Goddard.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing. You know, people don't realize how we have, like, such a really dirty political system here in Arizona. And it rivals Illinois and Louisiana for just sheer just corruption. And do you have anything else you want to add, Mark? Got a few callers up.
I want to see, basically a restoration of the republic in terms of people making an honest and informed decision. And if you want to vote the lesser of two evils, then I guess it's a question: do you prefer Stalin or do you prefer Hitler? Do you prefer arsenic or cyanide? We need to get past this mentality of the lesser of two evils. And we need to get past the mentality that you cannot rightly dismiss someone just because the system does not approve of them. Because from what I've seen of this corrupt system, fundamentally the problem is they decide who is viable and who is not. And we need to be clear. We, the people, will decide who is a viable candidate, not you. Not Rush Limbaugh, not Sean Hannity, not the New York Times or anybody else. We, the people, want to make an honest and informed decision.
Hey, Mark, you're breaking up, brother. Thank you so much for the call, man. I'm going to go to Lark in Texas now. Thank you for being patient and waiting there, Lark. You on the line with me, brother?
I am.
Thank you for, sorry we had the glitch on the phones there. What's on your mind today, brother?
Well, JT, I want to thank you for having JT on. JT, I think your movie is very well titled. I think it's perfectly titled, and so I am looking forward to checking it out.
Well, thank you.
I want to say, forgive me.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to ask you if you actually, I think all of us by now realize we're dealing with a multi-headed hydra here. But I wonder if in your movie you actually identified the overarching agenda, or at least delved deeply to that source.
When, it's money.
It's always
and
money.
And the question that we have is
and
when
power,
big money's
perhaps?
Involved, when big money's involved, do our votes really count?
Uh-huh.
And we believe what took place was in this situation in Pima County, there were elements, there were people in place that were really wanting to make sure this initiative passed.
They had 2 billion reasons why they wanted it to pass, too. Right?
And
we're running into the same.
Go ahead.
Well, we run into the same problems here in Texas, in particular North Texas, where I live. And I was actually peripherally involved with the reelection campaign for a county commissioner who was dealing with the same thing. And it seems to me that many people simply do not know the regional plan. They're not apprised that there is such a thing. And very often these outside consultants, these public-private partnerships, people who are actually benefiting somehow, some way from government largesse, have partnered themselves with the government and then come into these local areas and essentially lorded over them, all the elected people, and pronounced that they were going to involve stakeholders, so-called, in these various little planning meetings, these smaller groups, in what I call a Sovietized system, and put into effect what Brzezinski and Rockefeller and others talked about, the post-democratic world, where really it's not, it's too cumbersome to deal with the people, because the people, you know, you have to explain too much to them, and so forth and so on. And so I actually have identified the problem as what we call Vision 2020, Local Agenda 21. There are different names given to different parts of the country and different regions and cities and counties, et cetera, for this same thing. And what many Americans don't seem to understand is that all of our police officers and our city managers, bureaucrats, people in upper academia who are involved very seriously with the electoral processes, but especially our attorneys, our lawyers, and our judges are actively being indoctrinated to not only American law, but to international law. And I think this is the problem, because the international law is superseding everything that Americans hold dear, like the importance of the electoral process.
JT, did you find that to be the case when, you know, or anything similar when, while you were making this film?
Absolutely. First of all, the people who were in charge of the elections, it really seemed... there was, okay, the representative branch of this county government were boards of supervisors. There were five or six of them. The main entrenched bureaucrat was a guy named Chuck Huckleberry. This was the person who hired and fired the elections division. In fact, he was in charge of the elections division.
Wow.
Now, technically, the representative people were they have the opportunity or the ability to fire this Chuck Huckleberry character, but they never will. In fact, for example, from the Democratic Party, most of those, ironically, were all four or five of them were, it's not really ironic, but four or five of them were Democrats. The Democratic Party, all their in a precinct meeting, all their precincts got together and said, look, we want you to pursue this election issue, this problem with the RTA election. Hand over the electronic data and don't make me sue you for this. And the Democratic representatives refused to pursue it, absolutely refused to go after this, and ignored it, this mandate from their own party. And I think it's because their position is highly dependent upon this county administrator.
Sure.
So here we have, you know, this conflict of interest already inherent in this structure. And it's remarkable, because you know that these entrenched bureaucrats are the ones that are, you know, hooked up with the largest law firms, with all the developing, the industry-funded nonprofits and all these folks. They come together, and that's where the deals are made. And this RTA, this was their big move. And... over 4 years has been spent pursuing this, and it's just got down now to a key point that I guess I hear the music going.
You got a few, about 15 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it's about the poll tape, and I look forward to talking about that as well.
Thank you. Hey, thanks again for the call, Lark. When we come back on Declare Your Independence, there's Hancock, and the revolution continues. Me, Jet Lacy, we're going to keep talking to JT Waldron about this crazy, crazy electoral process we got going on in this country. When we come back in just a minute, hold on.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Well, James Brown didn't take any mess, and neither does J.T. Waldron, the director of the film Fatally Flawed. The problems are on the inside, solutions are on the outside. We have one more caller, but I just wanted to ask you something real quick about the subtitle there. The problems are inside, the solutions are outside. What did you mean by that?
Well, we have to be concerned about our people within the elections division messing with the data or altering the outcome of the election. It's not going to happen from some terrorist in some clandestine van parked outside intercepting fax transmissions or whatever, you know. They go through this concept of security by obscurity, meaning that if they just prevent people from coming in and looking at this or getting close to the computers, then be assured the election's safe. Nothing to see here. And that's the point of that line. I've been also putting a byline. It's about the pursuit of justice in a suspicious election. And that in itself is what we found to be just fatally flawed.
Hey, we got one more caller, and we just got a few minutes. So we're going to go to Lee in Georgia, and then we'll the next hour we'll just, you know, not take any calls for a bit and get into the meat of the situation, if that's okay. So, good morning, Lee. What's on your mind?
I don't like bringing religion into too many topics, but, you know, I've always been under the understanding that only God is perfect and everything he creates is flawless, and man shouldn't be trying to correct on that. But when we look at electronic voting machines, we have to understand, you know, there's the old saying that computers are only as intelligent and as smart as the individual programs them, but what we forget to acknowledge is that they're only as honest or corrupt as the individual who programs them. Me personally, I prefer a paper trail. I would much rather have the paper ballot. I don't trust electronic ballot voting machines because they're owned by private corporations who all have an agenda.
Which, yeah, right. What do you think about that, JT?
Absolutely. And when you talk about an agenda, it was the head of Diebold that promised to deliver Ohio in 2004.
Exactly.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's absolutely.
And of course, now you had the one caller. He said something I've been saying for a while. I believe it was Mark in Georgia asked about some way of creating some kind of paper trail. I have an idea of how to do that to be able to use paper ballots as well as electronic counting machines. But the problem is it might create more government jobs, and that's the problem I have with that.
What's your idea, brother? Real quick.
And I think I just lost my connection.
Okay. Hey, we still hear you, but we only got a little bit of time left here. So do you have any ideas? Do you think there's any other way, JT? Because I was kind of thinking, you know, I'm not an expert on this, but what if, you know how on a cash register they have two sets of paper? Okay, one is for a receipt, and one goes into the, you know, just gets every transaction gets recorded on a single strip of paper that can't be altered. And I wonder if that might not be a good way to remedy a situation such as that.
Well, that would certainly have within it its own auditing function, because you can compare two pieces of paper. So, yeah, that's one good idea. What people have been bandying about as another way to sort of punt downstream is to visually scan all the ballots into electronic data file.
Wow.
And enable anybody to look at the physical appearance of all these ballots online.
That might work too. When we come back on Declare Your Independence, we just have a 1 minute break. Another 5 minute segment. We come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. The revolution continues with me, Jet Lacy. Do you mind keeping going on this? Take the whole show?
All
right, when we come back, we'll jump into it. And we really thank JT for showing up and talking with us. We'll be right back.